Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Father God, we bless what you're doing in this church body, Lord, with this church body. We thank you, Lord, that you stir the hearts, Lord, of every person, Lord, that comes through those doors. Lord, you are here to meet with them, Lord. But as we walk in, we bring you, Lord. We bring you with us, Lord. And we come to join in unity, Lord, with each other. And so we ask that, Lord, as we are together, that your Holy Spirit would just flow through this place. That, Lord, that the music that is presented this day, Lord, would be in praise and worship to you. That we would come to that place, Lord, that we know that you are receiving our worship, Lord. Lord, come be with us, Lord. We invite you into this place. We welcome you into this place. Have your way with each one of us, Lord, not only as a body, Lord, but as individuals. Speak to our minds, Lord, and let our hearts understand, Lord, what our minds are showing us, Lord. Let our hearts, let our spirits reach out to you. We thank you in Jesus' name. And now let's do some worship. Amen.
Our worship is a love song so often, right? It's a crying out of our heart to Him. That's really what it is. It's offering something, a gift to Him in worship. And that's the thing, is it doesn't have to necessarily be your voice. It doesn't necessarily just have to be an instrument, but a lot of times it's also our time, right? The gift of just giving, the moment, the time, the worship to Him, and spending a moment of what has so frequently become a busied life, right? To say, I'm stopping it all to spend some time right here with you. That's what I love about this song. It's not just my Sunday with you. It's my every day, my every moment. Me wanting more than just showing up at church on Sunday, but for it to be a relationship that just builds and continues and just continues to grow, because we're spending time. See, not just the 10 to 12 or whatever time on Sunday, but the time you spend with Him each morning or each evening or throughout your day. See, growth happens when we get to know who He is. See, we are the image of Him, right? But how can we be a reflection of who He is if we know nothing about Him? The Holy Spirit has come so that we can know more about Him on a regular basis. It's this constant revelation that happens in your life when you begin to just spend time.
You know, I was back there and I was worshiping, and I took communion with Pastor John. He invited me over, and I just had this thought of how important it is to just spend time with God, and just how amazing it is that at any moment we could do that, and how important it is that we just take time out, as Rebecca was saying, so that we could just, you know, to spend a moment with God. The thing is like we should realize that our whole life should be about that. Everything that we do should be for God. Is anybody else want to share anything? Do we have any testimonies or words before I get started? No? All right. Thank you, worship team. I am not Pastor Henry. He was going to be here today, but he's feeling under the weather. There's a lot of people that are feeling under the weather. My wife isn't here because she's getting over something. My son, my mom. I got a lot of family. I'm sure people here have somebody that's ill right now. So let's go ahead and open with prayer. Lord, I just ask that those aren't here with us today that are feeling ill, they're sick, Lord, that you just heal their bodies, you restore them to perfect health, Lord, that God, just be with them, make your presence felt with them, Lord, give them peace, give them rest, and let them know that we are praying for them, Lord. And God, I just ask that you be with me today. You just let me speak what you have to say, Lord, that when I share your words, that your scripture comes alive to them and it's something that's imparted to them in their lives so that they use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So, I was preparing for the sermon and everything, and one thing is kind of crazy came up to me is I was just thinking is like has anybody used a screwdriver for something other than what it was supposed to be used for? Yeah. Now, has anybody ever seen a screwdriver with like a little warning tag on it? No. Never? Not ever? Because like I've actually seen them with it was printed on there, and then also I've seen it where it is. Like on the little tag when you buy it or whatever. And it says not to be used as guess what? Pry bar or chisel, right? It's not to be used for all these different things, right? It's like a bunch of people are probably like, what? Now the thing is like, you know, I've done it before too. And I've ignored those warnings, right? Now, has anybody ever done anything because they ignored those warnings where, like, maybe they accidentally poked themselves trying to pry something with the screwdriver, right? just anything that you've used that maybe wasn't supposed to be used for that purpose, like something turned into a hammer that wasn't a hammer, right? And then maybe didn't go so well. Well, it's because that screwdriver was, like, built with a purpose. Like, even, like, opening up a paint can, I guess you're not really supposed to do that. They actually got a little tool for that. But I always go with the screwdriver. Because I guess you can bend the rim of it. You mess it up a little bit, right? There's things that are just, like, built for a specific purpose. And if you want the best results, you use those things, right? And you know, so many times we use something that we have, which is our life and our abilities and everything, maybe for something we shouldn't be using it for. Right. We do have this little warning thing that we could read saying, hey, if you do this, this might happen. Which is the Bible, right? And it doesn't always turn out like something goes wrong, just like using that screwdriver as a crowbar, or, you know, that doesn't always go wrong. A lot of times it works, right? But there's going to be a time where that fails, and then you poke yourself in the hand, right? And using it as a chisel, and then all of a sudden something shatters or something, right? Same thing with us in our lives. If we like go off to doing something we shouldn't, like sin, then it's going to be something where, you know, we have this potential for harming ourselves, somebody else. And it's just, you know, it's not what we're created for. We were created to be people who, like, are used for the purpose for which we were created. Proverbs 16:4 says this. It says, "The Lord has made everything for his own purposes, even the wicked for a day of disaster." Right? I mean, that sounds pretty harsh, right? There's even this, it's in Romans somewhere, but it talks about, who are you to tell the potter, like, what he's to create or make, right? Because it's like, well, if you created me to do bad, and he's like, how is it my fault for doing bad? And, you know, I'm still kind of like working through that, like, how does this all work out? But who am I to tell God what to do, right? But it says the Lord has made everything for his own purposes. Okay, how much stuff has he made for his purposes? All right, who here is created by God? Yep. Everybody should have their hands up. If you're not, if you don't have it up, I will tell you, you were created by God. Okay, if you believe it or not, you were. All right, and it's for his own purposes, right? His own. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. It says this: "In a wealthy home, some utensils are made of gold and silver, and some are made of wood and clay. The expensive utensils are used for special occasions, and the cheap ones are for everyday use. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work." And the thing is like, you have no idea when you are going to be used. Okay. I mean, he's always going to use you, but you have no idea when that moment's going to come that you need to be prepared for to actually step in and do what God has equipped and empowered you to do. So you always have to be ready. I don't know. There might be a scripture around that about being prepared in season and out of season or something. I don't know. There is, if you don't know that, you can Google it. It's in one of the Timothys, I believe. So the thing is like, I want to be one of those special utensils. Anybody else? Amen. Yeah. Used for honorable purposes. Yeah. I mean, if you want to be fine china, like some paper plates or something, that's okay. But I don't know. For me, I want to be, you know, used as God has created me to be used. And that's the thing is that we all have a choice. You know, God gives us that choice. We could do whatever it is we want to do, or we can do what God created us to do. And if we're doing that thing that we're created to do, it's going to be something where our lives are going to be so much better, so much richer, so much fuller, so much like full of love. And if we're just out doing our own thing, we're going to miss all that. We're not going to see that. We're going to be thinking that life is some horrible, hopeless, sad thing that we have to just survive through. And, you know, even as Christians, it's possible for us to get in those moments where we aren't living up to our full potential. And it's not because God has failed us. It's just because we failed to make the choice. Because God gives us everything that we need in order to live a godly life. God's given us everything we need in order to succeed in our life. But the thing is if we're using our life to do something other than what he's called us to do, we're not going to see that success. So, you know, it says that if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. You know, is there something in your life that you need to let go of? Is there something in your life that you're holding on to that's keeping you from being that pure person? I mean, there's a lot of things that we may want to hold on to that, you know, we find enjoyable, but it really isn't for us. And the thing is like, once we let that thing go, we're going to like have that pureness to us that we didn't have. We're going to be able to be used for that special honorable use. If you just let go of whatever that is, your life will change dramatically. Now, imagine this, okay? Does anybody have any goals for their life? No. Yeah? Do we have any goals? Anybody? No? No goals? Okay. We're going to have to talk about that later some other time, you know, a few months. So, yeah. So, I mean, does anybody want to be debt free? Does anybody have any debt and want to be debt free? Anything like that? Does anybody want to not have to worry about bills? Like if the water heater goes out, that all of a sudden you have a problem, right? We all should have some type of goal. Right. But, you know, what if I told you I could give you like this, like 2 month course. And if you took it, you'll achieve every goal that you're looking to achieve. Right. And on top of that, like, you know, I gave you some testimonials and showed you like, hey, this is going to work out. Right. All these people are saying, yeah, it's successful. You can do it. And then I told you it was free. Would you do that? It's only... No, nobody would do that. Guys are crazy. Right? So the thing is like we have something like that, but for our lives, right? Okay. And we also have something like that. But the goals shouldn't really be just ours. Okay, every goal we have should be the one God has for us. Yep. All right. There's a lot of things in my life that I thought I wanted to do, but it turned out those things weren't for me. Like I had to give those things up. And it wasn't a sad thing that I gave those up, because when I started like living the purpose that God set before me, it changed everything. Yep. Right. That sadness, the hopelessness, that other stuff. I've been a Christian all my life, but like there is like these times where it come and go in these like waves, like, you know, I'd be good for a while and then I wouldn't. I'd be good for a while, then I wouldn't, right? And that's because I wasn't living the life God wanted me to live. It wasn't because I was out there wild and like committing all kinds of crazy sin. It's because I was pursuing what I wanted, right? It's something where I had to realize I needed to ask God first. It's like, well, what did you create me for? And each and every one of us needs to ask God that question. And you need to keep asking him that question until you get that answer. Because he will give it to you. It's just you have to be serious about seeking out God and that relationship with him. Now, this is what it says in Joshua. And it says chapter 1. This is verse 8 and 9. And it says, study this book of instruction continually. Okay? So, one thing I've heard from people before is like, it's like the Bible isn't an instruction manual. It's not a rule book. But you know what? I'm going to say it is. I mean, it is. I don't know if anybody else has heard that before, but I've heard it. I mean, it's pretty obvious. It says that these are the things you should do to live a good life. These are the things that will make it a bad life, right? These are the things that please God. These are the things that don't. But it's not just a rule book, right? It's also a historical document, right? There's a record of history. There's examples of people living life according to the book, God's book, scripture. There is, like, it's a book of promises, right? It's a book that tells us a little bit about what the future is going to be. And it's also like God's like message, his love letter to us. Okay. So just because somebody misused it by saying, you know, you got to follow rules kind of a thing. We shouldn't throw that out. Right. Okay. There's certain things that we got to do in order to, you know, live a good life. That does following those rules get us into heaven? No. It's the sacrifice that Jesus did on the cross. That's what gets us that. It's because God loves us. But we do the things that we do, it should be motivated because we love God, right? He loved us first. We should love him back. And the word says exactly how we should do that. Also tells us how we should love people. But it says, study this book of instruction continually. It's something where we have to continually read the word of God, right? There's a reason for it. There's a purpose. I mean, let's know what God's will is for our lives, right? Maybe not like specifically to us. So, you know, a lot of it can come from that, but also us talking to God gives us that specific purpose in our life, right? God, what do you want me to do? God, can you help me with this? God, can you do this? And he'll talk to you. Just talk to him. Okay. A prayer doesn't have to, you don't have to know the right words. You know, I used to like be intimidated about like praying in front of people. Cause my mom, she's really good at praying. You know, see that Pastor John guy? It's like, gosh, it's like, I can't pray like that. Right. It's just, this thing where it's just talk to God, right? He loves you. You're his child. He's not going to say, well, you know, you didn't use the right words. You didn't say the right phrases. You know, just like a simple thing could just be crying, right? Just like help. That's enough. But then also it says meditate on it daily, day and night. So you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. So how do you obey what is written in the Bible? We just read it. It says meditate on it. Right? So, you know, if you find you're struggling with something, just do what the Bible says. I mean, this says if you do that, that'll happen, right? Like I said, it's also a book of promises. I mean, it's very simple. Meditate on it day and night, so you'll be sure to obey everything written in it. It's like, think about the Bible. Like, just don't read through it and then I'm done with it, right? You know, think about those things that it says. And it's going to help you to be the person that can obey everything written in it. It sounds crazy, sounds impossible, but you know what? God's word is powerful. It's living and active, right? It's not like any other book. It's not like, you know, 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, right? This one has power in it. Okay, the other one's just good advice. So this is only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Okay, so saying if we're obedient, we're going to succeed and prosper in everything we do. I don't know about you, but I don't like failing, right? You can learn from it, but a lot of times it also kind of hurts, right? Right? So I don't know. I would rather succeed. So obey. And then you can succeed. It says, this is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You know, I could tell you there's a lot of things in life, I'm sure, that people have gone through where you could choose to be afraid or discouraged. Right? Okay. I'll tell you, I had a rough month. Rough. So, like, silly thing, I got third place at the ugly sweater contest. That should never happen. It's either first or second, not third. But like my car, it got backed into by somebody. Our house, there's like this split level to it, and these skunks got underneath one side where the split level is. And they sprayed three different times underneath the house. Yeah. And then, I mean, worst of all, thought I could say this. my grandma passed away. And it just seems like it's this thing. It's like just constantly getting hit, right? But the thing is like, I believe in God's word. I believe that God is in control and that God can make everything work together for his good. And he will. And that all I need to do is be faithful to him. You know, God is such a loving God. And I don't blame him for any of that stuff I've gone through. But like I said, you could look at something happening just week after week after week, right? Consistently being like hit. And, you know, I'm not doing it now, but like I've also been in a lot of pain for the last month, just limping around. You know, it's this thing where you could really get discouraged, right? But the thing you have to realize is that, you know, all that bad stuff, it's eventually going to cease, right? And that, you know, there's also this reward for us in heaven. We may not see much going on down here, but I'd rather have like this like richness and this bounty in heaven than I would here on earth. Because this is temporary, right? And it's going to get all just redone. It's like, but our time with God, that's eternal. Okay, the choices we make can have an impact on us. Like, you know, what happens for eternity? And, you know, I want to make God happy. I want to make him proud, right? And it's this thing that we should all have that mindset. We should realize it's like, you know, our life really isn't about ourselves. It's about God and what he wants us to do for him and other people. We have to have that mindset of being servants. You know, it's there's that scripture, and I say it all the time, is like Jesus didn't come to be served, but he came to serve, right? I mean, he came to serve. He's the creator of the universe. He's God. He came in flesh. He suffered as a man would, even though he had the power to take himself out of all that, so that we could have a relationship with him, that we could have an example of how we should live our lives. You know, it's just like, I'm sure Pastor will probably listen to this, but he sent me a text yesterday morning, right? And he said that he was ill and that, you know, he wouldn't be able to make it and wonder if we could swap days. Like, I'm supposed to preach next week. I didn't have any of my message done. I had family from out of town here, but you know what? I love sharing the word of God. I love like serving God more than anything. I love like being able to help somebody out that needs it, right? And there's gonna be a lot of times where people need your help and it's gonna be inconvenient. Okay, and to me, I don't see that as a burden. I just like, yeah, I'll do it. Because I'm just thinking, it's like, okay, I haven't prepared, but God will, you know, prepare me. The thing is like, we have to be willing to sacrifice what we think is like comfort. Sometimes our time, just like give of ourselves money, times, right? So that we can fulfill what it is that's our purpose. And the thing is, we need to really realize is that everything that we have comes from God, right? Like we were just talking about earlier, we're all created by God. Okay. Everything that we have comes from God. Even if you've been at a job and you worked at it, how do you think you got that job? How do you think you had the ability to do that job? Okay. So it's all through God. And, you know, to me, even though like I probably only slept, 4 hours, something like that. Like I said, it's not a burden to me. It's an honor. Like I get to do something for God. He's like, he actually wants me to do something. I mean, to me, that sounds amazing, but like he wants that for each and every one of us. We just have to accept it. So, you know, just know, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid because you have God with you. You know, when we all accept Jesus, what do we get? The gift of the Holy Spirit. Right? There's this scripture I tell myself all the time, too. Because, like, you know, I was like, well, what if I go up there and don't go good? I mean, don't do good. And I was just, like, standing back there, and I was thinking that. I was like, why am I thinking that? Right? Because I have this in Galatians. I really like this verse, and I always think about it. It says, it's Galatians 1:10. Didn't give it to you. It says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So like, you know, when I go to do something, I just think it's like, if I don't do well in the eyes of other people, that's fine. What I need to be concerned with is, did I do well in the eyes of God? Am I doing what he's asked me to do? And the, a lot of that fear of failing, that fear of like, what will other people think, just goes away. So be strong and courageous. Galatians 1:10.
Oh,
yeah. So. You know, it's back in Jeremiah, I think it was 8. Yeah, well, it's kind of split between the two. It says, only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. Right? You know, it's kind of silly. Like I was talking about before is like, you know, what if I told you you could like achieve all your goals that you wanted to achieve and everything? It's kind of silly that we go ahead and we live our lives according to what we want, what we're thinking will work. And, you know, we do that a lot of times without thinking, right? That we just go ahead and think, okay, I have like my work's going terrible. So what am I going to do? I'm just going to quit and I'm going to find another job. Or I'm going to find another job and quit the other job, right? Is that what God's asking you to do? You know, did you consult him first? Because there might be something just around the corner that if you stayed would change everything, right? But do you know that? God knows that. He knows everything. Beginning to end. Just like, you know, you might think you have to do something to achieve something. Like, it's like, all right, I was talking about bills earlier. It's like, well, what if you have to sell something so that you can have something else? I was thinking, like, fix your car, something like that, or have to use a credit card. And then all of a sudden you're like in more and more debt, right? And you just need to use that credit card again and again and again. And it's like, well, what if God told you, he's like, just wait a little bit longer or just do this thing. And then you end up not doing it, right? There's a lot of times where we try to make our own solutions to things or fix relationships in a certain kind of way. And it's just like, well, God, what is it you want to do? That should be our first question. What should I do? How do I fix this? What do I do? Because, you know, it says in his word that we can prosper and succeed in all we do, right? I'm going to go with the God thing, right? And we just have to break out of this mindset of like, well, you know, this is what people do normally when they're going through this kind of problem, this kind of struggle, right? And then leave God completely out of it. We can't forget that. Everything we do in our lives should be including God, with God. So, let's go to Jeremiah 17. And this is 7-8. It says, but blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. Our hope, our confidence should be in ourselves, right? Because once again, there's a lot of failure in that. We may be really good at something, but you know what? God is the one that we should have our hope and confidence in, because he can always do something that we don't see. It says, they are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Just kind of like what I was talking about is like going through some stuff in a month, right? Or even, you know, shorter amount of time, longer amount of time. The thing is if you're firmly rooted in the word of God, if you are somebody who like really has a great relationship with God, nothing can shake you, right? Because you know that no matter what, you're going to succeed. Because God wants you to. Okay, God's empowering you to. It's because it's his plan. And you're working for his purpose, not yours. And it says, their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. You know, one thing that you read throughout the Bible is all these times where you know, it talks about fruit. And, you know, it's this thing where we who believe in God, we who are disciples of Christ, we should be producing some kind of fruit. Right? But that's not going to happen if we aren't, you know, living according to our purpose. May see like some tiny shriveled stuff. Doesn't look great. But like if you're there with God and you do it with God, you will be successful in a way that you couldn't imagine. So it's important for us to hold on to that, to know that, you know, one, we should be close to God, but two, if we are close to God and if we know his word well enough, that we should see some kind of like thing in our life that shows what that, you know, that that's happening, which is fruit. Okay. So let's look at Psalm 1, and this is 1-3. It says something very similar to what Jeremiah was saying. It says, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. In this day and age, it's very easy to follow the advice of the wicked. You may not think it is, but it is. Because we have social media. We have the internet. And there's all these people that saying they know what the answer is, or they know what kind of thing's going on, and, you know, this is what you need to do, or they have some secret special information, right? But they don't. All right? Especially these people aren't followers of Christ. Same thing, or stand around with sinners. You know, it doesn't mean we don't ever go around sinners, because obviously we have to, you know, if we're going to share the gospel, the good news, we have to be around people that aren't saved, right? Because Jesus didn't come to save the saved. I mean, we have to be around sinners, right? Okay. So, and it says they're joined with mockers. All right, that's a big one. Also social media, right? There's a lot of people mocking other people. If you know them or not, right? But it's something that, you know, we're not really supposed to do. It says, but they delight in the law of the Lord. And then we're talking about the people who do not follow the advice of the wicked. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. So, you know, I want to be one of those people that, you know, meditate on God's word, learn from it. And if we meditate on God's word, if we think about it constantly, day and night, what is it going to help us do? Helps us obey it, right? Just like we're talking about the very beginning-ish. So, you know, if it says something in the Bible like this, like multiple times, there's probably some wisdom in there that you really should try to keep, to meditate on, right? So I just recommend that, you know, you know the word, that you find those things. Like if you're struggling with something, or if you're going through something, if you need something from God, it's like, look at what the Bible says about that thing, and then just meditate on it. Think about it, right? Over and over and over until finally you find that solution you're looking for. And like I said, just talk to God. So let me just leave you with this right here. This last scripture here. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And then it says, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Jesus, he died for us. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So it is so important that we recognize that God, he didn't die just to die and say, okay, you got eternal life. There you go. Here's your ticket. I mean, he did it for a reason. It says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. It is just human nature to live for yourself, right? I'll give you this quick example of like, it takes some effort, takes some compassion, some kindness, just to recognize what you could do for somebody to help them out. And this is a silly little thing I'm going to tell you about. I was at work. The lab's like two stories, right? So anyways, I was walking by the elevator, and I saw this guy. He's like wheeling his cart. He was a, we'll say, more seasoned gentleman. And because we have a lot of outside vendors that come and calibrate our equipment and everything, but he had this like big suitcase he's rolling along with somebody that was escorting him. I saw him, and I just looked over as I was walking by. The elevator hit the button, because like I knew he wasn't going down the stairs with that thing. And just walked where I was going. And then, you know, later on, the person that was escorting me told me, he's like, you know what? You made that. This is her words, not mine. That old man's day. And it's like that you walk by, hit the elevator button for him, right? Because like I could have just like looked and just like, okay, whatever, he's just going, right? They can handle the elevator button. But the thing is like, just for me doing that one little thing, like made their day, right? right? Because like I wasn't just like thinking about myself. I was like, well, you know, this guy's going down the elevator. Maybe I just hit the button for him. There are so many little things that we could do in our lives for other people that actually brighten their day, make them think, it's like, you know what? That person actually, they saw me and they thought about me. And they cared enough just to push that button. They could have just walked by. It's a small thing, but like all of us have the opportunity to do a small thing for somebody. Right? Whether it's just opening a door or, you know, just, you know, telling somebody's like, it's like, oh, you look nice today. It's like, what? I don't look nice every day. No, just kidding. But, you know, just, you know, taking that moment just to like think about somebody else, not to be caught up in yourself and to do something nice for somebody. And you know what? You know, it's something that we need to like break out of where we're just thinking about ourselves. All right. It's very easy because that's what this world is about. It's about thinking about yourself. Right. You're hungry. You eat. You want a house. Go work a job. Right. Okay. So, you know, think about this. Jesus died so that you would no longer live for yourself or for him. Right. He came to be a servant. He served us. So we should serve him and serve the people that he created in his image, because that's what he created us for. And each one of us actually has a very specific purpose we're supposed to fulfill. And it's important for us to find all that, what it is in our lives. And we can only know that by actually having a relationship with God and knowing his word. So, with that, would you stand with me for a moment? We'll close in prayer. Lord, I just ask that you help us to be those people that are aware of those around us in a way that maybe we haven't been before, Lord. That we just find ways to help other people, to be a servant, and just to radiate your love and your kindness and your compassion for others, and that it draws them to you, Lord, and that it glorifies your name. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Happy New Year. You're dismissed.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.